AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic officially unveil Kieran Tierney on a five-year deal. Steve Clark talks up Lennon Miller's potential after that 4-0 Liechtenstein win. And Jamie Brandon signs for Kilmarnock. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Marvin Bartley.
I think I have to start with the international yesterday, don't we? I think if I was from Liechtenstein, I'd probably got an international call-up watching them yesterday. Might still be an international now. But no, listen, it was brilliant for Scotland. Lennon Miller was absolutely fantastic. A few more boys getting their debuts. But all in all, Steve Clark said it was a disappointing international break for them. But look forward now to the games in August, isn't it, against Denmark. And like you said, Kieran Tierney coming in as well on a five-year contract. Obviously, Celtic fans knew it was happening. Football world knew it was happening. But it's still good for them to see it over the line now.
Yeah, it was, I think, the worst-kept secret in Scottish football. It wasn't even really a secret because Brendan Rodgers had talked about it openly. I think Celtic had maybe had one communication about it during their sort of annual financial review that mentioned him, but there hadn't really been anything on social media at all. So I think Celtic fans today will be excited having seen those posts, now seen him in the new Celtic kit, seeing a few quotes from him as well, and the video promotion that Kieran Tierney is back.
Yeah, it almost makes it feel real, doesn't it? I saw one of the video promotions. I think he's scoring from a top corner from about 25 yards. And then he's tapping the badge and stuff. So Celtic fans will be absolutely delighted with that. The strange thing with Kieran Tierney, he actually played more after confirming he was leaving the club for Arsenal than he did, 6 months prior to that. But listen, the top players coming back, they sold him for 20-odd million pounds. They've got him back on a free transfer. He's a Celtic boy through and through. He's playing for his boyhood clubs again. The fans love him. And like I said, a five-year contract, I'm sure he'll go from strength to strength.
Yeah, a few other things doing the rounds as well. I see in the last couple of hours, Jamie Brandon has signed for Kilmarnock. I think Kilmarnock fans will be happy to see that that's a player in rather than out, because there's been quite a few departures of late. I've seen a few Rangers fans talking about Nico Raskin because he came off the bench for Belgium last night in that crazy 4-3 win over Wales, and maybe a bit of debate about his future with Russell Martin coming in. So whether you want to talk about that, whether you want to talk about Scotland last night, we'll hear a bit from Steve Clark on that game. Maybe you're a Celtic fan and you're interested in Kieran Tierney's return and possibly the departure of Greg Taylor. We had a bit of that last night. Looks as if he is going to be leaving to join Palk. What sort of hole in the squad does that leave, even with Kieran Tierney coming in? 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB as well. If we start with that, just more on that Scotland game, it's hard to judge a lot, isn't it? You talked about the level that Liechtenstein are at, but Scotland got that early goal, got an early goal in the second half. It was very comfortable. You're not going to learn anything defensively about your team, but it was a job well done.
Yeah, listen, the most important thing was obviously going to win that game of football after the disappointment on Friday against Iceland. I know a few people have spoken about why were more of the young players not given an opportunity maybe from the start, but I think Steve Clark was in a real difficult situation. As I said, on the back of the defeat to Iceland, there's a lot of negativity around the squad, and rightfully so. They know they were disappointed in that game, and it's a game that we shouldn't be losing. So I think that's why he had to start the likes of John McGinn and Robertson. I think that's why they started the second game. But yeah, listen, I don't think you really learn a lot. The most important thing is boys getting their debuts, getting some minutes in a Scotland jersey and coming out of it injury free. We lost Angus Gunn in the first game, which was really disappointing from his point of view. But yeah, listen, playing against that level of opposition, it made me actually welcome back, the Nations League. I now understand why it's here, and it makes international football a lot more enjoyable, because playing teams like that are not something you want to see every international window.
Five debutants, one player that wasn't a debutant but was making his second appearance, I think it was, for Scotland, Lennon Miller. Was he maybe the standout performer, or the one that maybe we learnt most about? Only 18 years old, was in an environment where it is against Liechtenstein, but did show up well, was involved involved in the first goal, did really well for the second to win the ball high up and then lay it off for Shea Adams.
Yeah, he played some really, really impressive passes as well. I think it was a perfect game for a player like Lennon. You know, like you said, making your first start for Scotland against a lesser opposition where you're going to get time on the ball. And there's no doubt about it, his range of passing is absolutely fantastic. We've seen it a lot for Motherwell this season. We've now seen it in the Scotland jersey. So in terms of, you know, positives coming out of this international break, he's going to be a massive one. Not only, you know, the nation being able to see him play for 90 minutes, but also he'll now believe he can do it at that level. And it's one of those things mentally, you'll be like, right, the next step now is to go against a bigger nation and play there. But he's passed the first test 100%. Like you said, it's definitely a positive for, you know, Steve Clarke and Lennon personally as well.
Let's hear a bit from Steve Clarke on that. He was happy with Lennon Miller's contribution last night. He also hopes the five debutants can now kick on.
Him and Billy, I thought, were good in the midfield. It wasn't easy to pass the ball. The pitch was a bit sticky, but both of them were at it. Listen, we know what Lennon can do. We know he's a big prospect for us. It's nice to get these players on the pitch at an early age where you can start to give them international experience. So, yeah, nice. It was an opportunity tonight. Obviously, the way the team started and then the start of the second half, you get the third. So it's an opportunity to give these younger players, hopefully the next generation of Scotland caps, the one that sets them on the road to that. Now it's up to them to make it difficult for me to leave them out of the squads. But I think you look at the team that's on the pitch at the end of the game, is maybe a little glimpse into the future.
Yeah, that is the challenge. Now, the five debutants, Andy Irving, Conor Barron, Kieran Bowie, Josh Doig and Ross Doohan, all in sort of different circumstances, some of them in different stages of their career. But getting that first taste of it will be big for all of them.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely massive for them. You know, I think outside of Ross, who obviously came in really, really late, that the rest of them would have been anticipating this day, you know, basically expecting it to come, and now has came. And as Steve Clarke said there, it's up to those players now to make sure they are in the squad when the stuff gets competitive. So yeah, listen, the first taste when they all enjoyed it, there's no doubt about that. You know, pulling on the jersey for Scotland would have been a massive honour for themselves and their families. And now they have to keep kicking on when they go back to their club football, you know, to stay in the eye of Steve Clarke and his staff to make sure that when the next round of squads come out, first and foremost, they're within that. And then, you know, can they break into the starting team?
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Whether it is that Scotland game last night or just Scotland generally you want to talk about, that is the number. Maybe you're more interested in Kieran Tierney, because Celtic have confirmed today the news we all knew, but he has officially joined on a 5-year deal. Maybe you're a Rangers fan, you want to talk about something else, transfer business. Nico Raskin playing for Belgium, I've seen a bit of that online. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Frankie, who's a Celtic fan in Lanark. Frankie, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi there. Everybody all right? Aye.
Yes, all good. Yourself?
Aye. Not too bad. Lovely day sitting at the back. but no, my point with Tierney was over the moon that he came back. But I think if you look, some of the injuries he's actually had them when he was playing for Scotland. And I think he's at a stage now where he's 28 in a couple of weeks. I think he should just jack into Scotland and just play with Celtic. So he's keeps himself protected. He can get injured anywhere, we get that. But I still think he would should think about getting with Callum McGregor done. I think he should have to talk with Brendan, because we don't think he'll play all the time. But that also helps the equations if he's not playing for Scotland.
Yeah, something players always have to weigh up, Marvin. But at 27 years old, turning 28, will Kieran Tierney still feel that he has a lot to give for Scotland? He's got 50 caps at that age, which is, considering the fact that he has had his injury problems, is very impressive to get 50 caps at that point in his career. Do you think he'll maybe still feel he has a lot to give?
Yeah, 100% believe he has a lot to give. I think he actually just turned 20 at the start of this month. But yeah, listen, he'll definitely believe he has a lot to give. And, you know, Kieran Tierney, by all accounts, is a top, top professional. He's just been extremely unlucky with injuries. You know, it happens to some players throughout their career. And, you know, he might be at a point now where he's thinking, do you know what, if I can just get a good run at it, you know, if I can get this bad luck away from myself, the way I look after my body and I train and, you know, I rest and everything else, if everything kind of aligns, then hopefully he can have a season where he's injury-free. But I don't think that would even be, you know, anywhere near his thoughts to think about, you know, retiring from international football for Scotland. I get what Frankie's saying from a selfish point of view, from a Celtic fan's point of view. Of course, you want Kieran Tierney, you know, to be fit for Celtic and, you know, less risk of getting injured if he's at internationals. But yeah, I think from a player's point of view, you know, as long as you can do it, I think you always do it, you know, pull on that jersey.
Is that something that is a bit of a concern for you, Frankie? You're obviously happy that Kieran Tierney's back, but he does have that injury record.
Well, that's the thing. But I mean, he's been so unlucky. I mean, he broke into the team at 16 and broke his leg, and then when he came back, played a couple of games and done his something else injury. But he fought back through all that, and he played. He was playing all the time there, wasn't he? A lot of times. He would get a free run, but Steve Clark made a comment. I think on the TV, I maybe read it, and he said that he obviously was asked about the setup, five at the back or three at the back, whatever I call it. But he says he's happy with the way they're going, you know, with the 4-4-2 or whatever. And he said that if Kieran's just can't get into the team, that's just how it is. Because he's not going to drop Robertson. Robertson's obviously his captain. And I think it could be going, and it might just be a sub.
Questioned on the five at the back after the game against Iceland, which he admitted, you know, didn't work on that night, but he did say it's something that he will continue to use going forward. And I think it's a common theory that essentially that formation came about initially so that Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson could both play together, because they both show much quality in a Scotland jersey. But with Kieran Tierney's future, I get what Frankie means in terms of he'll want to minimise the risk of injury with Kieran Tierney and, you know, giving him breaks during the international window. But, you know, it's not just international games that he could get injured in. It can happen at any time.
Yeah, of course. And listen, when it's competitive, you have to play your best team. You know, we saw in the last friendly that Kieran Tierney wasn't really needed, and he said, you know, gave him the time off. Whether he was feeling a niggle or not, we're unsure of that. But yeah, listen, Kieran Tierney, for me, is going to play for Scotland, you know, all the time. I know we saw it before where Steve Clarke actually left him on the bench and went with the back four, and Robertson, as Frankie said, there started at left back. But I think, you know, when it comes to the crunch of it, I think he'll want to play with Kieran Tierney and Robertson, which means he is going to play the back five. You know, if you're an international manager, that's all you're worried about. You know, you have to be quite selfish in this industry. You can't worry about, you know, Kieran Tierney at Celtic and how it's going to affect him there. If he's fit, he's going to be in your squad, he's going to be in your starting team, and that's all you're worried about.
Well, thank you to Frankie. Let's speak to Mark, who is a Rangers fan in Partick. Mark, how are you?
Well, not too bad. Just kind of wait for the new season to start under the new manager.
Pleased with the appointment of Russell Martin?
Aye, because Rangers have went down the route with European managers like Paul Lockwain, Gio Fani, and other managers, it's no work. They don't put the right type of player in for Scotland, the Scottish game. I mean, I think they're going down the right route, like what Crimson has done in 1986. That was a massive rebuild away back then. Crimson has delivered in his first year in the experience.
How much of a rebuild do you think Russell Martin has in his hands, Mark?
It's the same as Graeme Souness in 1986. The full team, there's rumours Jack Butland's obviously going to move down south. Burnley's looking at it, so they've got to start for the goalkeeper right through, because I like Jeffy's reliable at left back. He can't defend, and he's putting pressure in the two centre-halves. Same with Taffany, the two centre-halves have got to pull it to help the full-back to defend. I think that's a big problem for Rangers.
The Jack Butland one's an interesting one, Marvin, because he obviously lost his place in the team for the last few months of the season. Barry Ferguson wasn't selecting him. Liam Kelly, I think when you look at the two goalkeepers, is the one that, with the ball at his feet, looks more comfortable. Russell Martin plays a particular style of play where he likes his goalkeepers to be good with the ball at their feet. What do you think that could mean for Jack Butland's future at Rangers?
Listen, if, you know, like you said, Jack Butland was dropped under Barry Ferguson for whatever reasons, and he was struggling, you know, before that as well. You know, there had been a lot of calls onto this show from Rangers fans saying that, you know, Liam Kelly needs to go in because Jack Butland, you know, made clanger after clanger after being probably one of their top players the season before. So I think Russell Martin will first and foremost want to have a conversation with him. I think if Jack Butland's on his game and he's a top goalkeeper and he's someone that, you know, Russell Martin will definitely want to have about. But if he is to move down the road, as, you know, Mark just said there, with Burnley being interested, then, you know, has to bring in at least one goalkeeper, whether that means Liam Kelly stays as the number two, whether he's got aspirations now after being a number one, he wants to go back and play first team football like he was at Motherwell. You know, that would depend on how many goalkeepers that Rangers do bring in. But I think if Russell Martin can speak to Jack Butland and he wants to stay at Rangers Football Club, I know you're talking about his style of play, but I still think he's a top goalkeeper if he's at it.
Did you have another point you wanted to make, Mark?
I want to ask Martin three points. One's my first point, obviously Dio Mandy linked with Everton. I'd be looking for $5 million plus Nathan Patterson if they could do a swap for Dio Mandy. Then my second point was, if Nico Raskin was playing for Celtic, Celtic would get 25 million easy. I mean, same with Dessers, 10 million. Just get the point in that one.
Yeah, listen, that's not a bad deal what you're saying with Diamande in terms of bringing Patterson back up. You know, obviously someone who broke through into the Rangers team, and James Tavernier was at the peak of his powers at that moment in time. So, you know, Rangers ended up selling Patterson. So if that was something they could be done, I think, you know, a lot of people would be happy about the 5 million plus Patterson back. Diamande is a massive player. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, we've seen it so many times when English clubs do come calling, well, they can pay wage-wise, you know, they do turn players' heads. I actually watched Raskin come on the game you were speaking about yesterday, you know, for Belgium against Wales, where they were 3-0 up, and it goes to 3-3 and they end up winning 4-3 and played a pivotal role in the game. He really, really did. He came on and he added to the quality of that midfield. And you know, strange to say that when you've got people like De Bruyne in there and Tielemans. But yeah, listen, Raskin again, I think there'll be suitors for him come the summer. And, you know, Rangers model that they're speaking about at this moment in time, they have to sell players on and he might be one to go.
Rangers have maybe been guilty of that in the past, not letting players go at the right time. You think of, you know, Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent, mm-hmm. both leaving for free at the end of their contracts. Would you imagine that that's something Rangers will be or should be a lot better at if they are going to, you know, they've obviously got the new ownership, a new structure at the club. If this is the point they feel that Nico Raskin is maybe stock is highest, if he's, you know, playing for Belgium, started the other night, came off the bench, that this could maybe be the time to sell?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's to be at the forefront of their thinking, not only with Raskin, but going forward as well. Like you said, on too many occasions, Rangers held on to players and then got no return on them. So yeah, listen, it's the model that they've spoken about. You know, we've seen, you know, Celtic do it on the other side of the city. So yeah, I think if a bid comes in that they believe is big enough for Raskin, I think they will let him leave the football club, and then it will help with the rebuild. I know Rangers fans don't want to hear that because he's one of their better players, if not their best player. But it's part and parcel of football, and they have to find the next Raskin, and that's the job of the people now that are in at Rangers Football Club that have been brought into the structure to make sure that if one player does leave, they can be replaced. As I said, we've seen Celtic do it on the other side of the city with people like Kyogo, Hatate, Maeda coming in left field. Rangers need to now go and do their due diligence and make sure they've got replacements lined up.
Any more thoughts on that? 01419511025. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's excited about the return of Kieran Tierney. We want to hear your thoughts. 01419511025, or any thoughts on the Scotland game last night as well. We'd like to hear them, but let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Marvin Bartley is top of the Summer League on point difference. He's looking to extend that, or were you able to put him below the likes of Ross McCormack and Jim Duffy? To take on Marvin Bartley at Beat the Pundit, bring 0141 951 1025 now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can give us a call, 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at ClydeSSB. Remember, you can watch the live stream as well on YouTube and on other social media platforms. By this time, during the summer, it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now, on Tuesday nights during the summer, it has been Gordon DL that's been in the hot seat playing Beat the Pundit. He's not here tonight. I did see a photo of him on social media with a couple of chaperones, and he's not been heard of since, so who knows? I don't know what he's up to this week, but...
Chaperones? What, like doctors or...
I think so, yeah.
Nurses?
Yeah. Possibly one of those two. I'm not, right. not 100%. I think the uniforms have maybe changed, if that is the case. But we'll hear from him soon, I am sure. Right, it is Dave in Dumbarton that is up for Beat the Pundit. How do you fancy your chances against Marvin Bartley?
Oh, I'm usually rubbish at this, so...
I like that, Dave. Continue that form, mate.
Have you played before?
Well, no one live, but...
You know what, I like that. Dave says he's not that great, but he's willing to give it a go. He's putting himself out there.
No one will hear it.
And you know, it'll make it even better now if you beat Marvin. That'll be, that will make my week if you do that. So we'll see.
Deliver, overperform.
I like it. Right, we'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Marvin Bartley so he cannot hear us. It's 30 seconds on the clock, Dave, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well. That might help you out. How does that sound?
Go for it.
Let's go. Before last night, who was the last Scotland men's team player to score a hat-trick?
Oh, pass.
What Rangers player came off the bench for Wales last night?
Pass.
Which club connects Kasper Schmeichel, Anthony Stokes and Scott Arfield?
Falkirk.
Scotland striker George Hurst plays for which club side?
Southampton.
How many players in the Scottish Premiership had more than 10 goals last season? Was it 13, 14 or 15?
14.
Okay, we will bring Marvin Bartley back in. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hate when it's not music on now. It's like adverts.
Oh, adverts.
Yeah.
Anything that was piquing your interest?
No, not really. I was just quite disappointed.
Oh, well, right. We'll see if it's distracted you for your 30 seconds on Beat the Pundit. Let's do it. Before last night, who was the last Scotland men's team player to score a hat-trick?
John McGinn.
What Rangers player came off the bench for Wales last night?
Matondo.
Which club connects Kasper Schmeichel, Anthony Stokes and Scott Arfield?
Falkirk.
Scotland striker George Hurst plays for which club side?
Ipswich.
How many players in the Scottish Premiership had more than 10 goals last season? Was it 13, 14 or 15?
14.
What club is John Carver taking over at after leaving his role with Scotland?
Can't even pronounce and pass.
Name any English man that has managed Celtic.
Englishman.
I did read that weird because there's a
John Barnes.
A space in between an Englishman was how I meant to pronounce that. That's what it was written down on a space in between, which made it sound a bit odd.
Come but, on, Jay, that was Jay back there. He's too busy on Instagram posting stories.
Dave, how do you feel you got on?
I got a couple of them there. I'm kicking myself at John McGinn 7 years ago. Mentioned it in the show yesterday as well.
It was John McGinn. That was the first question. It meant that it was 1-0 to Marvin Bartley straight off the bat. He also said earlier on that he watched that game between Wales and Belgium last night, which meant that he knew Robbie Matondo was the Rangers player that came off the bench for Wales. Dave didn't get it. It goes 2-0
flying
to Marvin
Dave.
Bartley. Which club connects Kasper Schmeichel, Anthony Stokes and Scott Arfield? It is Falkirk. You both got it.
3-1.
Scotland striker George Hurst plays for which club side? Dave said Southampton.
Ooh.
Marvin Bartley said Ipswich. It is Ipswich. 4-1 to Marvin Bartley. How many players in the Scottish Premiership had more than 10 goals last season? It was 13, 14 or 15.
Let's pick the one in the middle.
I think you both did that.
And you both
got it right.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
So it goes 5-2 to Marvin Bartley. Marvin got a couple more questions in. He's already won. He's going to walk the ball into the net and then he just decided that he couldn't pronounce Lechia Gdansk.
Yeah,
didn't bother with
come
it.
On.
Remains at 5-2. You got one more in. Name any Englishman, that has managed Celtic. He could have had Tony Mowbray or John Barnes. 6-2. Dave, unlucky. You were up against a man in form tonight.
Well, there we go. I'm just happy I didn't hand that victory to the Dazzler.
Exactly.
That is true. And also,
insufferable it would have been.
Yeah. Didn't get the donut either. Got a couple of points on the board. That's all right. Make sure to go away, do a bit of studying, Dave, and come back.
Oh,
and you can try and beat Gordon DL another night. Right, we will do the same. We will do the same again this time tomorrow night. Thanks to Dave.
Cheers,
let's stick
Dave.
With the phones. 0141 951 1025. Andy is a Rangers fan in Finiston. What have you got for us tonight, Andy?
How you doing, guys? All right?
You're up, buddy.
All good.
I was just thinking, you know, a couple of things we're talking about, but I keep asking for at least one more season, then make a fourth, because he's only going to get better. He's going to the World Cup next year as well, so I would definitely try our very best to keep him. And also Dessers. I mean, 28 goals last season, going to be hard to replace. And that's two players that we could really do with next season.
We'll take those separately because they're both interesting points, Marvin. With Nico Raskin, is that kind of the gamble that clubs have? If they feel, if there is interest in Nicholas Raskin this summer, Rangers will have to decide, is now the time to sell, or do you hope that he can stay another season and his stock may rise further and you can get more money for him? There's almost no right answer when you're looking at it, you know, at this point, because it's impossible to tell what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Rangers have been caught between that rock and a hard place before and got the wrong answer, so to speak. Like you said, Morelos and Kent being, you know, two glaring examples of it. You know, I think they have to have a picture in their mind now. If a certain value is hit, then that player is available to go. And only Rangers Football Club will know what that is. As I said, it will also help bringing the next Raskin to the football club, because if you understand that you can go into Rangers Football Club, do really, really well as an individual. Listen, they'd have wanted more trophies with him there and, you know, potentially to be a lot closer in the league, obviously. But if you can keep doing that and have a conveyor belt of bringing these sorts of players in, giving them a platform, Rangers will only get better by that. So I think, yeah, you know, timing is absolutely crucial for it. And I just think, you know, Raskin is doing extremely well now. Like you said, you know, played for Belgium, started the other day, came on as sub and made a really big impact yesterday against Wales. I just think he's at that level now where they're going to get the money that, you know, they envisage will be enough to sell him.
Because in theory, for Andy, it's great that he has a great season and then he goes to the World Cup with Belgium and does well there and then his price tag hikes up. But you never know, there could be a season where he ends up getting injured or maybe doesn't have a great season, doesn't end up going to the World Cup with Belgium. So there is so many variables.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables. And also, you know, another problem is that if a certain amount is bid for a player, I don't know, plucking this out of the sky, £16-17 million is bid for him and Rangers just flatly refuse it rather than trying to negotiate maybe to get to close to the £20 million mark. It's almost like Raskin can go into them and say, well, pay me as if I'm a £17 million player. And there's not a club in Scotland that can do that, you know, because then you're speaking about, you know, paying a player £60,000, £70,000 a week. So there has to be that happy medium with it. The player has to be happy as well with what's going on and understanding there's a pathway. If I do come and I do produce a good for Rangers, then I'm going to be allowed to leave the club for a certain amount of money. And Rangers also have to be happy by saying, if we invest this money in you at the start, as long as we get X at the end of it, you know, we're also happy to let you go.
Andy, you mentioned Cyril Dessers. I think it's fair to say the Rangers support are split on Cyril Dessers despite his goal record over the last couple of seasons. You feel he is someone that could really flourish under Russell Martin?
Well, I think so. I mean, I know you said everybody has support on him, but to me, the goals he scored the last two seasons, I mean, at least I think Russell Martin would go, right, I'd rather somebody I know he can score the kind of goals two seasons in a row. I'll keep him for another season just to see how he goes, but because he's going to be the red half of the place, somebody's going to come in right away and start scoring goals.
What's the value that they've been linked with in terms of selling him, Andy? Has there been a figure put on Dessers? I've not seen that.
No, somebody said, like, I think it was somebody said something like £4.5 million, but nah, that's nowhere near what Rangers. If somebody came in with a really like £7-8 million, then they may maybe go, okay, let him go.
Yeah.
But I said, he's going to be in a half of the place. I mean, somebody scored the kind of goals.
Yeah.
And Russell Martin will be going there. I'm keeping him.
I agree. I totally agree with Andy. You know, goal scorers are the hardest things to find and how many clubs are always looking for them. You know, again, he does split the opinion of Rangers supporters, but ultimately he's a top goal scorer in the league. So he's not doing too badly, is he? And I agree. Listen, unless it's a figure that's closer to the £10 million mark where somebody really comes and gives you that money for a player
for
of his age.
A 30-year-old striker, yeah. You feel that's realistic?
Well,
or it's the figure that...
It has to be the figure. Now, whether it's realistic for another club, that's up to them. But, you know, is it realistic to think you can replace, you know, his amount of goals for, you know, £2-3 million? I don't think that's realistic. So as I said, goal scores are really, really hard to come by. So that one for me at 30 years of age, someone has to prize him away from Rangers Football Club rather than you saying to yourself, do you know what, let's get what we paid for him, because it's still going to leave a big hole for them up front, you know, only with what Danilo and Niggerman at this moment in time.
Is there also the argument of whether Cyril Dessers is a Russell Martin style of player, because
this is a goal scorer.
Been,
yeah. This whole thing about style of play and philosophies and all these sorts of buzzwords. If you score goals, you're everybody's type of player. Whether you play long ball, whether you want to play from the back, whether you want to get it wide and put the ball in the box, he scores goals. He's a top goal scorer in the league. So for any manager going to any football club, I don't care what your style of play is, can I have a top goal scorer in the league? Yes, you have him here. Right, I'll fit. To make sure that when we are going forward, we're going to give him the most opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net, because he's proved it last season that he can do it. Forget about his misses as well, by the way. He's proved that he can outscore anybody else in this league at this moment in time. So get the ball to him in the right areas and then put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, thanks to Andy. What about you, Tam and Paisley? What are you thinking?
So it was just to say that a lot of Rangers fans really don't understand the work that Russell Martin does behind the scenes. He works with youth players a lot. An example is Matt O'Reilly, who managed at MK Dons, who obviously went to Celtic and then went to Brighton for a lot of money. So he does work with a lot of youth players. So that'll be good for us, developing players like Bailey Rice, your Connor Barron, stuff like that. So Rangers fans need to be a bit more positive. I saw a lot on social media sort of last week, and people were just really, really down and depressed about it, really. But we need to think about the good side of it.
Yeah, listen, it's one of those things, Tam, that if he does work with the youth players, again, I don't know Russell personally, but he just needs to win. You know, ultimately, that's it. You're right, there was a lot of negativity around the appointment for whatever reason. I think it was on the back of the takeover and people wanting bigger names. But if he goes into Rangers Football Club and starts really, really well and wins games of football, you know, before you know it, you turn those doubters around. And that's what he has to do. I think he said as much in his press conference, you're never going to be everybody's cup of tea. So, you know, developing youth, that's fantastic. But he's got a massive, massive weight on his shoulders that he needs to go and win games of football. And listen, outside of Celtic, Rangers should be beating everybody else. So it's about getting them, you know, playing the right way, creating opportunities, putting the ball in the back of the net, keeping it out the other end. I know it sounds simple. Go and win games of football. And the fans who are down him at this moment in time will be on side with him.
Is there a more general point there that Russell Martin's task is just to try and get the absolute best out of every single player? Because, you know, Tam talks about youth players, but the talent obviously needs to be there as well. It's not as if a manager is going to come in and maybe turn some youth players that aren't good enough and don't have the potential into world beaters and £20 million players. But it's in terms of if they do have that potential and they do have that ability, it's about how you coach the best out of them and put them in a situation where they can flourish.
Yeah, exactly. It's about having a pathway for these younger players, but nothing will be given. You know, you can't play for a team the size of Rangers and expect to be a youth player and play, well, I'm a young player that then I should be playing. That's not going to happen. But as you said there, you know, if the players are good enough and Russell Martin sees more than enough within them in training and the opportunities they are given, whether it's coming off the bench or anything else, I've got no doubt about it. Every manager wants to play young players, but they have to be good enough. You know, you have to be able to go in there and hold your own and make the team better than the person you're keeping out, whether they're a young player you're keeping out or a player coming towards the end of their career. So, yeah, listen, there's one thing that I expect Rangers to have this season that I don't think they had last season, and that's the style of play. You know, Russell Martin's definitely going to coach that into, like you said, the players at the top of Rangers, but also the younger players. So, as I said, they'll be given opportunities. If they don't take it, then they'll sit on the bench or they'll be out of the squad. It's just that simple.
Are you excited about the season ahead, Tam?
I am, to be fair. I think that I don't want to come out here and say, oh, we're going to win everything, but I think that, as Marlon just said, we're going to have a style of play. We're going to have some exciting football. It's attacking football with risks, which we've been wanting for ages. So I think it'll be a good season ahead for us Rangers fans.
Val, those risks that you talk about, do you feel that there may need to be patience with Russell Martin and his style of play and the way he wants to go about things as he tries to get this team playing that style?
Absolutely. We need to give him time. I think that style of play that he plays can't just be coached in a couple of sessions. It will take a wee bit of time, I would say, probably September, October, late October maybe, where we'll start seeing a really sort of functioning team. So it might be rocky at the start, but we need to give him time.
Well, thank you to Tam. Any more thoughts on that? 01419511025. Celtic fans want to hear what you're thinking about the official return of Kieran Tierney. We all knew it was happening, but today Celtic have officially confirmed his 5-year deal. I wonder what you think that means for the future of the left-back position as well, because it looks as if Greg Taylor is on the way out. Were you hoping that he would stay alongside Kieran Tierney? And want to hear your thoughts on all things Scotland after that 4-0 win against Liechtenstein last night. 01419511025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There's been a busy one on the phones, so we may as well go straight back to them. Brian is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, happy that the Kieran Tierney deal has been announced. You've now seen him in that new Celtic kit.
Yep, absolutely amazing. Good evening, both of you guys.
Evening, mate. Yep.
It was announced a few months ago that he was coming back, and we got that confirmation of that today. And seeing him in the Celtic strip again is just incredible, because here we have a player that is not only, first and foremost, he's a Celtic fan, so he understands every single Celtic fan's wants. We're no all the same, you know what I mean? All Celtic fans are no all the same, but every Celtic fan can be so happy that we've got somebody of his ability in that club. is £25 million when we sold him probably helped greatly in the success that we've had since that 6 years has been passed. But to get a player back who's had the year in the Spain, he's had 5 years at Arsenal, and I know it probably didn't go injury-wise, but he had these two operations that have cured what we would say is a wear and tear issues, and he's back to being who I think is a better player than what he left. And if that's not exciting, then I don't know what it is for a Scottish team, regardless of how big we are, for a Scottish team to attract that kind of talent back into the league is incredible. But it's brilliant for Celtic fans, and I'm absolutely cock-a-hoop today. He's amazing. He's a supporter. He's a great player and an international. And I didn't agree with the guy earlier on. I understand what his chat was about not playing for Scotland. I think a 27, 28-year-old, he's still got so much to give to Scotland, and that kind of experience can't go out the Scotland team. And regardless, I don't think Kieran would want that either. I think that's a non-starter. He loves playing for Scotland. That shows, you know what I mean, when he does play. So I just think, honestly, for the league, but especially for Celtic, I think it's a real feather in the cap. You know, I mean, he's a brilliant, brilliant young player, still young enough, and his best years are in front of him, and I'm so happy he's at Celtic.
Yeah, there are obviously the caveats that Brian talked about him not being, you know, available all of the time, but if you'd said to any Celtic fan 6 years ago when he was sold for £25 million that at the age of 28 he'll be back on a free transfer, I'm sure they all would have been absolutely delighted.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, the board would have been delighted as well, you know, with that. But, you know, Brian makes some brilliant points. Kieran Tierney at 28 years of age should be in his prime now. So ultimately, you've sent away a young boy. You know, you spoke about him having a year in Spain on loan at Real Sociedad. You know, you spoke about his time at Arsenal that, you know, was a bit up and down because of the injuries, etc. But he is now back, and these are his prime years, you know, where he still should have the kind of physical attributes to get up and down. And he's also got the experience now to go alongside it. So, yeah, it could be a real, real top quality signing for Celtic. You know, obviously there's that caveat around it, though, how many games will he play, you know, can they keep him fit, and these are the things, you know, you hope for a professional footballer that injuries don't, you know, curtail his season early. You know, hopefully he can get a good run at it now, because as I said there, Celtic have got a top player. Brian, what are your thoughts on, you know, another left back then, just in case, you know, Kieran Tierney, like we said, you're not going to want to play every single game domestically, as well as the European stuff. What would your views be on another left back? Would it be someone, you know, a younger left back coming through the youth team, or would you want to go and sign one?
I would honestly, I would get as good a backup as we can get, because every single team, every team that's Champions League, you know, worthy, really should have two players for every position. And if Greg Taylor's going to leave, which it looks more and more likely now, we really need backup for Kieran Tierney. But Kieran Tierney isn't just a left back. Kieran Tierney is a player that can really play midfield. He can play in that left side of a back two alongside CCV. And I just think, honestly, you know, like, this man can galvanise the between boardroom level and fan level. I think sometimes there's a voice missing, and I just think that Kieran Tierney is that guy who would speak out for the fans. And I just think, honestly, he can play any side of that left hand side, and buying other players is a definite. We must improve. Celtic's never going to stand still. If you look at the model and the way that we've traded, the way that we've bought players and improved players, I trust the scouting squad. It should be more, but, you know, we all want, you know, our wants and our wish lists will be long, and you know, this time of the year is crazy, because as soon as any player or manager comes available, we start connecting the dots, and it's just not on. But yeah, I think Celtic's scouting system is working big time, you know, so it could be better. We get a bit more luck with you know, the bigger signings. Ida could be better, Engels could have been better, but I just think that when you look at the way we trade, this is a biggie. This is massive. I don't think enough's been made of the fact that we've got Kieran Tierney back in the league, you know.
That versatility that Brian was talking about, Marvin, the fact that he can play left back, he can play, you know, left centre back of a three. We've seen him play left centre back of a two as well, with him signing a 5-year deal at Celtic, how much could that help him and his future, having that versatility that he can play in a number of positions?
Yeah, I think it helps the football club, doesn't it? You know, it helps the manager mainly. But yeah, listen, we saw him also play left wing for Arsenal as well. I don't know if a lot of Celtic fans follow Arsenal games, but Tierney actually played left wing a couple of times. So yeah, listen, predominantly he's going to be a left back, there's no doubt about it. But if he has to in emergencies, fill in, like you said, in a back four, left sided centre half, I don't think he'd be too comfortable playing there. I think he could do it on a one off, but I definitely, like you said there, in the back three, which at times maybe in Europe, you know.
Do you not think that could be a common thing? No, I think he certainly did it for Celtic a few times, a handful of times maybe. He's done it for Scotland as well. But do you feel that, I mean, it's possibly not in Europe, more domestically, that could be an option, but not something Celtic should lean on?
Yeah, I don't think it's something they should lean on. I think it could be, like you said, used as an emergency, potentially, like you say, domestically. He could do it. But yeah, listen, he's coming in as a left back, but he's still only 28 years of age. Like you said, he signed a 5-year contract to be 33 at the end of that. So he should still be able to get up and down the left-hand side. Like I said, by all accounts, he looks after himself really, really well. But I think Brian makes a good point. They need to bring in another left back as well. And the difficulty they will have is, you know, you look at the other side of the City Rangers, they got Jeff and Yilmaz, where, you know, any given weekend, whoever's performing better out of the two is probably going to start. Whereas I think, you know, Celtic, Tierney's going to be the number one. So that's going to be the difficulty, trying to bring in somebody as a number two. I think they have to go for somebody slightly younger to maybe learn the ropes off him and then give him the opportunities from time to time to play.
Is Viljamis Sinisalo maybe a good example of what Celtic might try and do? Someone that, I think he was already a Finland international by the time Celtic signed him. He'd had first team experience, but came in and is willing to learn off of Kasper Schmeichel in the hope that they'll then go on to become the first choice goalkeeper. Is that the model you'd think Celtic will try and look for?
Yeah, I think that is the model they'll go down. Maybe not somebody as established as him though, because, you know, ultimately Schmeichel's what, 37 years of age, so he's probably thinking he's got a year left, whereas Tierney could be, you know, playing week in, week out for the next 5 years. So I think it has to be someone that's slightly less established but definitely has the potential to go in and play, especially domestically as well. You know, without being disrespectful, high percentage of the league Celtic, you know, win games at a canter, especially at home. So you know, they can afford to have a younger player playing in there. But yeah, as I said, you know, there's no doubt that Brendan Rodgers and the rest of the scouting team will be looking into this if Greg Taylor is to leave the football club.
Brian, where are the next areas Celtic need to strengthen?
I would definitely look at a forward. I believe there's a few murmurings about Odson Edward. I would have that type of player come in and put a challenge to the boys that are up front now. Because we, as you rightly said, they're Dessers. He's a goal scorer, you know what I mean? He's scored all these goals. So Odson Edward came in and done, a better job when he came in. But I think, again, with him being away in the league he's been in, he'll have learned so much if he comes in. But we definitely need to have a bit more firepower. We have to have somebody who's going to take the chances that are getting made. So many chances, and you watched in the cup final in the first half, and you didn't shoot, you didn't score, you know what I mean? So you need a striker.
I think the producers had enough of you, Brian. They're playing the backing music, aren't they? That was very rude of them. That was producer Jay again playing that music when Brian was speaking.
It's like the Oscars when someone goes on for too long and they start playing the exit music to
poor Brian's still speaking into his phone.
Yeah, sorry about that, Brian, but that is time, unfortunately. We will have to leave that for tonight. It has been another busy show, but do not worry. We'll be back tomorrow to take all of your calls. I was going to ask Marvin Bartley whether he thought Odson Edward was a realistic Celtic signing or an option we should be going for.
One word answer, no.
No, not having it.
I'll definitely go for him, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, right. Thank you to Marvin Bartley. Thank you for all your calls out there tonight. Thank you for your tweets or watching on the live stream or just listening at home. It's Callum Gallagher that's up next.